Welcome to Overtures. This episode was so fun to record. My guest is so easy to talk to, and we had a blast both reminiscing and getting to know each other better, with lots of laughs in between. I hope you enjoy. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats, and we'll be starting shortly.
Hi there, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome to Overtures. I'm happy to have you today. I always resort to talking about the weather at the very beginning of stream, so sorry about it, but it's a very lazy, rainy Saturday morning here in New York City, which makes it like a very cozy vibe, which is nice, but definitely a little tired, a little needing of blankets and that kind of thing. So I hope that you are having a wonderful morning nonetheless, and thank you for joining us if you're here live with us. But yeah, we'll go ahead and get right to it today. Today is episode 68 of Overtures, and my guest today is an actor, musician, audio engineer, and most recently a cheesemonger from small town Decorah, Iowa. Very similar to Iowa, no one really knows where he is, what his deal is, or what to do with him. In what critics are calling, quote, a death blow to a fledgling career that was hardly fledgling in the first place, he recently joined Actors Equity. He loves his dogs, cheese, soul music, and writing bios. My guest and I have never really been in a show together, but we've had chances to see each other perform, and he's not only incredibly musically talented, but also incredibly funny. So, without further ado, this is Miles Wilkie.
Aw, that was so nice.
Well, it's true. Hi, hello, welcome. Matt. How are you doing?
I am doing just spectacular. I could not be doing better. I got paid yesterday, and that's really all
Absolutely.
You can ask.
No, it's so true. And I'm trying to remember, where are you streaming in from these days?
It's a little town called Selkirk, New York. It's basically Albany, but you know how like suburbs work. It's nothing. It's my house and a playground.
A nice secluded area, very, very different
it's
from New
quiet.
York City.
But I would say it was quiet. There's a train, like the only thing in our town is a train track. So it's actually really loud all the time.
No, I respect that. I grew up in a town that had tons and tons of trains. So I understand that feeling. It's so loud, but also after a while, it starts to blend into the background of white noise.
Yeah,
which
it prepares you for living in New York perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm curious, how similar or different is it to living in Decorah?
It's almost exactly the same. Actually, I would say Decorah is slightly bigger than Selkirk.
I would agree, because I think Decorah is Luther.
Yeah, yeah.
Decorah has Luther College, yeah.
Did you like do
Yes,
research?
My cousin went to Luther College.
Wait, I think you might have told me that.
I think it was like years ago I told you about that, yeah. Yeah, so shockingly, I know where Decorah is, which is wild, but yeah. I always love to provide the context of how I know my guests. We know each other from good old Wagner College.
Wagner College, go Seahawks.
Absolutely. I don't think we had a single class together.
I really don't think we did, because I had class with a couple of your classmates, but never with you.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were 2 years apart, so it was a little bit harder to like be in the same class together. But we did realize before stream that we did community leadership together, which was essentially helping run freshman orientation before the students arrived and all that good stuff. And I'm trying to remember, did I direct you in the first group play?
Yes, you were the first. Yes.
That's what it was. The classic first year play for all the freshmen to watch.
Do they still have the scene with the like black person and the racist? Who knows? I guess how would we know?
No. You would probably be more likely to know than I would, but since you're younger than me, but I am never
likely to know anything.
Fair enough. And I remember watching you in Working on the main stage, and you were fantastic in that. And that was your main stage debut, correct?
It was. I think the first time I've ever like talked in a musical I was in.
Previously you had only like sang like an ensembles kind of thing?
No, that's not technically true. When I was 5 years old, I was a tap dancing bird. But like other than that, I was just kind of standing around.
Had you been in straight plays? You'd been in straight plays before, right?
True. Yeah, I guess if that. Oh, I said musical.
No, but like, but it wasn't a musical. But yeah. Yeah. No. So no, I was just like curious when
I was a kid, once I gave up being a pro wrestler. I was like,
I love the fact. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Same thing as pro wrestling. Honestly, that'd be an interesting conversation to have. That's so funny though, because working really is filled with a lot more text than I think a lot of us remember. It's based on the original like Studs Terkel series of interviews with blue collar workers. So there's a lot more than just the music to it.
And I was actually so lucky because that was like my first big show that I ever did. Big show. It was a college show, but it was like a big show for me because my mom is a historian. She's like professor of history at Luther, and she knew the book and she owned the book and she like really loved that book. So she was really excited. She didn't know that this musical existed. She was really excited to see it.
Oh, I love that.
She can be excited anyway because I was in it and she didn't have a choice, but she was especially excited.
Did she get to come out to see it?
Yeah. That was back when people could travel, and that was the worst thing because all the other shows I wound up doing, COVID, no one could see them.
Yeah. I mean, granted, a lot of them were live streamed. I think I did get to watch bits of Celebration, which was cool. But yeah, unfortunately, it made it harder for family and friends to get to watch what you did. But talking about working, you did working again professionally too, which was really cool. Did you play the same role?
Yeah. It was same role, like a slightly smaller cast, but it was like same director, same team. It was super cool that they asked me to do it. This is like the weird thing about my theater career. I apparently am awful at auditioning. Anything I audition for, I never get. But sometimes people will just walk up to me and be like, hey, do you want to do this job and I'll pay you?
And you're like, yeah.
Every job I've had, I was like, please. So yeah, I got to do it out in the Berkshires with like James Barry, who's my favorite person ever.
He's amazing.
And we were like born almost the same day. And he also had his first show at Berkshire Theater Group. And it was like, we were having parallel careers, sort of.
That's so
and
fun.
Yeah, it was super cool. It was like, I guess you said that I did it professionally. I'm not sure if that was true because I was like 19. Not exactly the smartest, but it was such a valuable experience because I got to be around like Broadway people who like get how to do it.
Absolutely. And I guess professionally by the way of like getting paid to do getting to do the performance. But no, that must have been so cool. Get like at 19 years old being like, okay, I am in the Berkshires working with not only an incredible professional director, but all of these people who have so much more experience and getting to really like learn from them. That must have been just such an awesome experience.
No, yeah. And then like I still get to like, we still like hang out is the best part. Is it like,
oh, I love that.
I just sang on one of their albums and I like, I'm about to go see my friend JG in Shucked because she's like the original cast of that. So it's like everything
Shucked
is
amazing. You're going to love it.
I don't know what it's about
it's
at all.
So
I know that there's corn. So as an Iowan, I'm like, this is my dream.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're going to adore it. You're going to adore it. Going back to the beginning of things, how did you first get started in theater?
Yeah, I guess that would be how it went. So I was a wrestler since I was like in kindergarten. Not kindergarten. First grade. Somewhere around there. Because that's all there kind of is to do in Iowa is we like just fight each other all the time. I was like, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. And then I was like, it turns out I have like a soft chunk of bone in my head and horrible epilepsy. So that didn't work out well for me. I wrestled for like 15 years and they were like, you should stop. So I did. And I was like
fair enough.
What's basically pro wrestling? Acting. There was a Shakespeare troupe in my hometown. I say troupe. It was a bunch of children. But we did like Shakespeare shows and it was like really cool. And I enjoyed it. And I applied to Wagner like on a whim. Because I was sort of supposed to all my life go to law school. Because like as a child of a professor, everyone around you expects you to be very smart and very successful. And I was like smart, but I wasn't driven at all. Which is kind of still the same, but So I should have gone to law school, but I was like, let's go to acting school because I am a rebel and I'm young. Why not? And like, so far, so good. I've went to Wagner, as you did, and we survived.
You made it. I love how that jump was straight from like, well, Shakespeare was fun. Let me just go to theater school.
That's the thing. That's kind of been every choice I've ever made in life. Like every job I've ever had is not connected to the thing that I did before.
It's all just very zigzag.
No, it's nothing related at all. My first ever job, I was an intern at a radio station. And then I worked at that radio station for like a couple of years. And then like my next job, what was it? I was a landscaper. And then I went to Wagner. I was a CL. And then I worked in an office. And then I started, after I graduated, I became a cheesemonger for like.
And I'm so excited to talk about that later on because I need to know everything about that. It's so fun to see everyone's journey, and yours is particularly crazy and wild, but it's so much fun to take a look at. So being that you were in this Shakespeare troupe and then were like, I'm going to go to theater school. I'm curious, what was that, or if you had one, what was that overture or light bulb moment for you where you're like, no, I think I'm actually going to do this for my career?
I'm trying to think of exactly what it was. I think there was one time, we have this thing called Nordic Fest in my hometown where we celebrate Norwegian heritage. Whenever I explain it to people, they're like, is that a white supremacist thing? It's not, I promise.
No, it's not.
It's a fun little festival. And I had done a Shakespeare show like 2 weeks before that. And some random guy who I didn't know was like, oh my gosh, are you from the show? You were spectacular. I'm going to give you my business card. Please update me on your career everywhere you go. And I was like, I'm 15. But like ever since that, so I guess like most actors, it's entirely just selfish. I just love being loved by random strangers. I want to feel important in the world. But no.
And you were like, yep, that's it.
Yeah. But no, it's like, oh, I just coughed. That was the one thing I was afraid of doing on the podcast.
That's okay.
It's like, once you feel like you can be good at something, you're like, might as well go all in on that. And like, even if it's just one random person in Iowa, it's like, why not go for it?
Yeah, no, that getting that confirmation from people being like, oh, you think I'm good at this thing too? Hell yeah. Like, let's do it.
Well, that's been the tough thing about trying to have somewhat of a professional career. You can't care at all about.
No, you can't. That's exactly it. It's that you get that validation at the very beginning and you're like, heck yeah, I can do it. But then after that, you kind of got to provide it for yourself, which is very difficult. But
which has been the journey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And most recently, I believe, you did a Theater for Young Audiences tour for Virginia Repertory Theater.
That's the perfect segue. Because if there's
how did
one
you get
thing
involved in this?
5-year-old kids will do, they'll think you're the best person in the world for doing anything. If you
Absolutely.
Fall down, they'll love you forever. I love children's theater now. I think every actor should do it like once a year. So to have a child come up and say, you're the prettiest girl I've ever met. And it's...
It's true.
So it was like every other job I've had in theater. Did not audition. Didn't know what was happening. My best friend, Lindy Picorni, shouts out to her.
Oh, I love Lindy. She's I love
so
Lindy.
Cool. She owns a home. Can you believe that? She
That's
like
crazy.
Is a homeowner with a happy...
A homeowner.
So she lives out in Richmond, Virginia, a place I'd never been.
Okay.
And she like is friends with the music director for Virginia Rep, which is like a cool theater in Richmond. And the person who was on this tour, I don't know if I can defame them on a public podcast. It's not defamation. It's all true. It's what happened. He
just don't name them and you're fine.
Yes, this person, let's say quit the tour. Let's say they were in a place and they just decided not to get back on the bus. So they were stressed out. They also apparently smoked in my room, but I only found out that once I got there. So they needed a replacement. and they had like a week of turnaround to get someone. So they asked everyone they knew, who do you know who's black? And I was Lindy's choice. No, she was like, oh, he's really talented and really cool and really pretty. No. So she asked me to do the show, and I was like, sure. When is it? He was like, Thursday. Please come now. So my mom, who is the best person in the world, drove me down from New York to Richmond, Virginia in like 2 days to make it in time for the first rehearsal. I had one rehearsal on that Thursday that I arrived, and then first show on Friday.
Oh my God. How long did you have the script a few days before that? Yeah. Like,
so they sent me the script the second I said I would do it, which was like the week before. And then it was immediately, you better sing and dance and jump around.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. A crazy turnaround. I'm sure that first show must have been like, okay, we're going to do it and hope for the best.
It was horrifying. And I guess, like, in the real professional world, that's, like, how, like, they don't have as long of rehearsals as you're used to having in college.
Right.
But that was they let me carry the script, so that helped. But it help because it was a lot of running around and dancing. So I was like,
Right, and you're like, I can only do so much of this with my script in hand. What was the show?
So, I think it started out, we were doing two shows on the tour. Three Little Pigs, which is what I wish the first show was, and then I Have a Dream, which is like a Martin Luther King biopic.
And of course, that one was the one that was the first show.
Yeah, I couldn't just
no pressure or anything.
Dance. No.
Oh God.
It was so yeah. I was like the father. I was Martin Luther King Sr. and a couple of other random civil rights figures, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was like
yeah,
you got to teach children about important history.
Mm-hmm.
I had to very quickly learn that history. Not that I didn't know it.
No, but the details.
Word for word. Word for word. And yeah, finding the beats, the moment to moment, the uta.
Oh my gosh. That must have been, I mean, it must have been a relief then to get to do like Three Little Pigs.
No, yeah. That was great because that was like the last of that show that they were doing for the next like month. So it was all just, and my character, it was a blessing. I got the real princess track. All he ever did was repeat what the other one said. He was the dumb character. So whenever someone said something, he'd be like, it was the dream track. I would do it every
day.
And
you're like, this is the easier one to memorize. This is the one that I should have done first.
But that's never how it works out.
No, of course, never. How was being on tour and how long were you on tour since this was kind of like in the middle of it?
Yeah, it was, what was it? From March to the end of May, I believe. Because right after that, I went to Showplace. So it was like not forever, but it was.
Yeah. That's a good 3 months, though.
It was a good 3 months.
Yeah.
Tours are really, they make you sleepy really fast.
Yeah, I believe that.
We were mostly like in the southern-y area, southeastern coasty, but then we would like drive up to Wisconsin for a random show for one night, drive all the way back. And I didn't know, because I don't know anything about the business that we work in, I didn't know that like most tours, you just do everything. Like you're driving.
Yeah, especially the.
You have to build the set.
Especially for these like theater for young audience tours, they're like, here's the van, go for it. And everyone's like, what?
It was very much that. It was very getting lost in the middle of states you've never been to.
Oh gosh. And you're just like, I just want to go. I just want to sleep. Like
I slept almost every day in the car. Thankfully, I was never behind the wheel, but
good.
But no,
that's really the preferred.
That is the preferred way, because the kids always give you like the energy that you need when it's the right age. That's the other thing that I learned. Children from like 5 to maybe 11, great crowd. They love it.
Yeah,
they're like, "Are you a real pig? How did you learn to speak?" High schoolers, they don't like it as much.
No, no, not particularly. I really
despise joy in every way.
the binary between, are you a real pig, to being like, I hate this so much.
They hate it because they're forced. It's like an assembly. And they're like, yeah, you have to come and watch this show about MLK. And
yeah,
the only part that they cheer or laugh at is when someone says the N-word.
Oh, jeez. And you're like, come on, y'all.
But it was, God. I think they got something out of it, maybe.
Maybe, maybe. But those 5 to 11-year-olds, the best.
They loved it. They had the a great best. Time. They wanted us to play with them at recess. It was...
Aww. And you were like, I can't. I got to pack up the truck. I'm not, but...
I have to go to Weehaw, South Carolina in 2 hours.
Yep. Yep. Sorry. Sorry, kid. That's hysterical. We do have a clip from Showcase, so I'm going to pull that up. Get to watch you and Colleen Kelly, another former guest, belt your faces off.
I'm asking for you to stay. Stay. Yeah, yeah.
Now, Colleen, that's someone you need to have on the pod.
I have.
That's embarrassing for me. I'm a fake fan.
No, that's okay. No, look, I've had 60 however many episodes of this. You can't know everyone who is on here. That's okay.
That's embarrassing for me. Have her on again. Even since the last time you saw her, she's become even more famous.
Honestly, true. Truly. Truly. But no, you guys both sound incredible on that song. So I wanted to pick that one out to get to hear a chance of you singing and all that good stuff. But yeah, you're also a musician. What all instruments do you play?
I also cheat because I use a digital audio workstation so I can pretend to be playing a violin, but I'm actually playing the piano. No, so I mostly play the piano. I play the clarinet. I was in band. No, I played the clarinet for like 11 years. I'm all right at the clarinet.
Yeah, I'm like, you were in marching band playing clarinet, so.
The dumb thing is, when I was a kid, I was a really, really, like 5 to 13, I was technically like a classical guitar prodigy, which sounds, it's the cringiest thing to say ever in life, which is why especially I never talk about it.
Classical guitar is also such a whole different thing than people think it is.
No, and it's completely, it's not useful at all to me. In my... And I think, because when you become a teenager, you're like, oh, things can be cringy. Things I do can be cringe. So I haven't played guitar like since then.
You haven't touched a guitar since? That's so funny.
No, that still the only guitar I own is like 3/4 sized. Yeah, so I guess I technically play guitar, and if I thought about it, I could, but I don't.
Yeah, and then piano, I guess, from the sounds of it as well. That's so funny. Well, yeah, and I know
one hidden underneath my desk. Oh, you can't see it, so I shouldn't have rolled it out.
That's okay. I believe that it's there, though. I believe it. And you were in the marching band at Wagner. Had you done marching band in high school too?
Oh yeah, yeah. So Decora, fun thing about Decora. We were technically the best marching band in the state of Iowa and approaching one of the best in the country. There you go.
Hell yeah.
For a while. And then, I'm not gonna bring up beef on the pod. The marching band teacher who was the head of the like Marching Band Society of America retired my junior year. Mm. And they brought in another guy. I don't like that guy.
Downhill after that.
We won't get into it. I didn't need to coup against him.
Oh boy.
a successful coup, by the way. He held us all in after lunch, and I was like, that's not going to work. And like the entire clarinet section, I led them away, and they never came back, and he's probably never forgiven me, but I don't care.
But he was successful, and that's what matters.
That's what counts.
And then he went on to do marching band at college. And what's cool is that you guys got to do some really crazy opportunities with parades, but also working as background actors in various movies. And I'm sure you know where this is leading.
Jose is an icon for this. I wouldn't have even gone to Wagner if it wasn't for Jose.
Really?
He was one of the first people I met. The first time I auditioned, I didn't get in. But then he was like spreading rumors about me amongst people. He was like, this kid, he's really cool. He's a nice young man. And I think it was partially because he just wanted someone to be in marching band.
That's fair. He's really good at like sniping people for a marching band.
No, he's the best. And he always tries because we're like in New York and we're all like old enough to not be subject to child labor laws, but young enough looking to pretend to be high schoolers. He's always trying to get the band in like movies and stuff. And I was lucky enough to be in band during the time that we were doing, which Spider-Man is it? There are too many. Oh, I spoiled it. It was Spider-Man. It's Far From Home. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I always forget what it is when I'm talking about it, but I remember when the residual check comes every year.
Well, and I'm curious, had you worked on a film set prior to that?
Not at all.
So to go from like no film experience to suddenly being on a set for Marvel, literally, must have been wild.
Yeah, from never having even seen a film camera to seeing Zendaya just next to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you were like, wow, this is wild. What was it like to work on not only a film set, but also one that is known for trying to keep everything under wraps? Because you all had to sign like NDAs and things.
Sign the NDA. I was afraid because I didn't read the NDA. So I was like, what can I and can I not say? So I just said everything and I prayed. And so far, they haven't caught me yet. And I feel like if there's any movie you can break an NDA for, it's the Spider-Man movies. Because like Tom Holland's whole gimmick is like,
that's fair.
I don't care about my NDA. So
yeah, he's like, what? Oh, shoot. Sorry. But that must have been like an insane day of shooting. Did you guys know that you were going in for like a Marvel or Spider-Man film set? Or did Jose just be like, show up? It'll be good. I promise.
Yeah, because he wasn't like allowed to say what it was called. There was like some dumb name that they gave for it.
Of course.
It was like Alpha Bravo or something. And we were like, ooh, that sounds really exciting. And then we were in, was it Brooklyn? Something like that. And we were like, this is probably Spider-Man. This is almost definitely Spider-Man. And then we saw Spider-Man. Jose got to see him like in the suit walking around. And we were like, oh, this is going to be Spider-Man.
And you're like,
rumor
had
built up for like weeks, and we were like crazy excited, and we were worried that it was going to be like some letdown, that it was going to be like Sesame Street. No, actually, I might have been even more excited if it was Sesame Street. But
that's fair.
But yeah, it was like the coolest day. They had catering, which is always my favorite part of any project I ever do.
Oh, always.
And we kind of just disintegrated for
Like
4 hours. They were like, stand here and then crumble into dust. Do that exactly the same 10 more times.
And you're like, yeah, sure. I got you. Like,
and that's the other thing I'm realizing about movies. The like amount of time you work on something does not translate to the amount of time it exists in real life.
No, it never does. Cause you're like, wow, I was on that set for 12 hours. And then you like,
oh my gosh,
see it.
Gonna
and
have you're a like, oh, up it... shot of me. And I can,
you're like, no, that was only like 30 seconds. Not even.
I wish it was the 0.2 seconds in a montage where we are vaporized. But
and you're like, you know what?
$250 a year. So I am all right with it.
The fact that you're still getting like residuals though for it is pretty impressive, because frankly, I've done a lot of background work and I've never gotten a residual, but I guess that also counts for being on a Marvel set as well.
But Jose is the real genius here, because what he did, they were originally like, oh, we'll just you play, pretend to play, and then we'll like play music over it. But it became too complicated for them to do that. So we are technically performing, like, we're like in the, not in the soundtrack, but like we technically made noise for the thing. So they have to give us residuals because of the musicians union. So Jose
genius
and secured that bag for us.
I love that. That's incredible. Oh my gosh. That is genius. And that makes absolute sense, because if you have a special talent and you're doing something like that on screen, that suddenly plays into a lot of extra things for film and TV in terms of contracts and pay. And that's awesome that you're going to then continue to get residuals for years for now.
What was I about to say? This is really embarrassing. This is going to be something we realize across conversations. I'll think of something, never say it again. Like, the thing that I'm thinking of, I'm never going to remember what it is.
No, that's seriously why I have to have like a whole list of questions to things to talk about when I'm on stream, because otherwise I will truly forget everything that I'm about to say. I have a Google Doc open, so I understand the feeling.
I remembered what it was. This is a miracle.
Hey, there we go.
Technically, up until they make a live action version, I am canonically Miles Morales in in the MCU. I'm a black Miles in a Spider-Man movie, and they'll never be able to take that away from me. That was all I was going to say. Not even a relevant part of conversation.
No, I love it. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And obviously, so you've played instruments in the band and things like that, but you also write music too, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has that interest developed the more that you've gotten to like play instruments or things like that? Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, the first time I ever wrote a song, it was like the most embarrassing moment of my life. So it's been interesting. I have this weird like fear of actually doing it. And I do it, but I like I'm not someone who will ever release music. That's just not my vibe. I like to help other people on like their projects, which has been really fun. Like while I've been upstate, I've composed things for like people's short films. And like, it's just like local short films, but it's like fun to do. And like, back when I worked in radio, I used to write little jingles for like commercials that I had to write or something. So it's like things like that. Things that like barely count as real music, but I make it anyway.
Someone has to make those things. And there's a lot of people who would prefer not to do those things because they want to make their own work. So it kind of fits perfectly. You have your own little niche in a way. Yeah. So then I'm curious, how did you get into audio engineering?
So it all did really start back when I was working in radio. So my like specific job, I was a production I was also a sales intern. I was an catch-all intern because it was a tiny little radio station. My official job title was production intern. So like my job was to record people, to edit the commercials. I also had to like enter in the music into the system. The things I was doing sort of constitute a full-time job, but we won't get into it. But it was really fun. And I really enjoyed it, and I was learning a lot. And I was actually really bad at it. The first year I worked there, I was actively horrible. I almost got the radio station fined thousands of dollars because the thing I thought I entered, you can't have dead air on the radio like ever. It's like illegal.
Yeah.
And the thing I thought I entered in, it sure did not go in.
No.
So I had to run, my boss had to run in. It's like Saturday morning, 5 a.m. and quickly enter. But she's the sweetest. She's the best. Jenny Grouse. I love her. And then her dad is like actual, like the radio legend of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And he like taught me a bunch of things about like making stuff, about recording stuff, about how to be an engaging speaker. Don't know if I'm succeeding at that one yet. But like, I started off there, and then for a while, I actually sort of didn't do any of that. But then during COVID, when everyone was like, oh, we're going to be stuck inside in our own little room all the time forever, I was like, might as well try to figure this out, to like soundproof rooms, to like make music. So I was like, might as well learn more about that. I took some classes on the internet, stuff like that. And now it's become sort of a second income stream, only barely.
No, but that's nice, though. It's always nice to be like, oh, okay, this is something that else that I very much enjoy and like could potentially get more money from.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I really enjoy it. I like, because don't get me wrong, like I like creative stuff. It's super like fun to like be in that. But also sometimes I like to do things that are like, if you do this, this will happen. You have to connect this way and do math so that everything is aimed correctly. So, like, sometimes it's fun to do, like, procedural things that will just work.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm curious, what makes you, like, the most excited about audio engineering and or, like, what do you like most about it?
That is a really good... I think... I'm going to pause before I speak so my words make sense.
Yes, of course.
But no dead air. That's illegal. I think what I have really good hearing, and like, you ever just hear a thing that's like, ooh, I like being able to like figure out why that is. I don't know if you've ever seen like a spectrogram before. It's like a visual representation of sounds.
Oh, like the.
Yeah. You kind of like learn, even just the sound of your voice is like 50 different notes all at once. And it's like, you kind of start to appreciate every little sound you hear around you when you like can look at it and see that it's like a chord of beauty and like this little up here and like it's, I don't know, I just like to dissect things, and that's been the fun part, like dissecting like what good songs sound like and then figuring out how to make things sound like that, what kind of cool mechanical instruments people are using and knobs they're turning and what they do. And it's, I like knowing things, I guess, and like I like music more than almost anything. So knowing more things about music is always a cool thing to be able to do.
Absolutely. So then what's something that people don't commonly know as much about, like audio engineering?
My default,
I'm sure a lot of things.
My default thing to talk about is compressors, because it's something that weirdly people don't understand. No, not weirdly. They're really complicated and stupid. No, they aren't really complicated.
Like I've heard the word, but I also have like never sat down to be like, what is a compressor?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it. I should have prepared ahead of time. This is on my Tinder bio, but I know what a compressor is, and this is really embarrassing. I'm fake. But no, so basically compressors change how much like gain there is in any given moment. If you say something really loud or really soft, a compressor will kind of bring them up in between to be level. And there are a bunch of different controls that control how high the quiet things become loud, or how quickly the quiet things become loud and the loud things become quiet. And it just makes everything sound thicker and more full. And you can hear all the little parts of a voice or an instrument that make it sound cool. And I didn't realize how much like compression there is in everything, and how much like editing that goes into even like a bare sounding vocal. And like when you're a singer, it makes you feel a lot better that like that like you can hear Beyonce or something and she's like spectacular, and of course she's a spectacular singer in real life, but like what you hear on a record is never what it sounded like,
right?
So it's good knowing that like, yes, Ariana Grande can sing really, really well, but she's also singing like 18 times, and it's like a tiny little cut of every single word spliced together that sounded the most perfect. So if you're a little flat on that note, it's going to be okay. You're going to survive.
It's okay. It's fine. No, that's actually really cool and really interesting. Is a compressor usually like a separate piece of equipment, or is it something that's like built into a lot of the stuff that we use now?
If you're rich, it is a separate piece of equipment. I am cool. I use software mostly.
Yeah.
And then like on this little friend that I have connected to my microphone, there is like a little built-in compressor thing. Usually those are like kind of mid, but it works well enough. You can hear me at least.
And then kind of veering off a little bit and talking more about theater things again, you're a recent member of Actors Equity. And I feel like we don't discuss often enough how personal of a decision it is to join the union. So I'd love to hear about how you became eligible and what made you decide to finally join.
So when I had done working that summer in 2019, I technically could have joined then, because it was like an equity show, and I was in, it was an equity principal contract, and it was like for long enough where I would have had enough hours, but they never like did the paperwork, and they never told me that I should do that, and I didn't like really understand what the union was, so I like didn't.
Right.
I was 19, so like who cares? But
yeah.
That's embarrassing. I coughed.
No worries. No worries.
But I like once I started like was close to graduating, I was like, oh, should I join? Am I able to even? And I like talked with someone and they were like, oh, yeah, you could join because of this. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, the program that was like everyone can join came out the same time I decided to join. So now it's embarrassing. Now it's now I don't even have the street cred of being a cool actor. But no,
you're like I joined, but I also was eligible, I promise.
Like eligible for real. No, I only joined because I really like unions, and I think that everyone, if they're like working a job, should be in a union. So like I get that now I can't do a lot of like the jobs that I would that I'm actually qualified to do, which are like, you know, college student graduate, he was fine in college, he can hold a tune.
Yeah,
but it's worth it because I don't have to wait in line at auditions. That's really all that it's for.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And like, yeah, everyone should be a part of a union, and it's unfortunate that non-union work does take advantage of the fact that they're non-union, but also it makes sense that like you became eligible. And so you're like, you know, I think it's worth it for me. And then for other people, it may not be their choice in time yet, but then eventually they will. So I think it's a super valuable conversation. So I wanted to make sure to ask about it.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go for it. Go for it.
I don't know if we're on a time limit. Cause that's been another thing that I've been thinking about my career path is that like, yes, if I was non-union, I'd probably be working more. But I'm kind of comfortable with working less. I'm getting old and feeling more like an old man, just ready to not settle down. But like, I'm all right just having my little job and then auditioning. And then if I get a cool job, that's cool. But like, I'm okay, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need to be working on tour on a boat for all 12 months of the year.
No, I get that. Absolutely. And also we have an Instagram question. Oh, really quick. I can hear myself in the background of your camera all of a sudden. I don't know. That only just now came up. It just came up. So I just wanted to bring it up. But also I'm not hearing it anymore. So yeah, I think it went away. So we're all good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only for a second. I was like, huh, that's strange. That hasn't been happening. But we have an Instagram question from a guest who was on not too long ago, Austin Nakamura. He wanted to know, Miles, what's your hottest theater take?
Hottest theater.
And I know this is a dangerous question, so feel free to take it however you'd like. But
this is a dangerous question. I have theater takes. They might be too hot to handle. No.
It's a hard one.
This is tough.
Or even if you have a hot theater take.
I'm trying not to say that theater now is like just as racist as it was like 20 years ago, because it's not just as racist, but it's close.
But there's a lot of bad stuff in there.
I want to do something more interesting. This isn't even a hot take. This is just something that I didn't know. I didn't know that props was short for properties, and I don't think it should be. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Because when you're like, let me go grab these properties. Yeah, no, it's like, I'm like, who is calling it properties to begin with?
No, because why would I? No, I have to think of a better thing than that.
If you want, we can come back to this.
We should. I'm going to keep strategizing. I'm actually, you're going to keep talking to me, but I won't be able to think about anything else other than this.
That's okay. Well, I guess this is a nice chiller one to question to then ask about. You're singing, you mentioned in an email that you're singing at a gala this upcoming week, right? What is it for?
Ooh, so in my post-grad, like adult life, I got lucky to be asked to join a like society. I feel very fancy and exciting. the high society at Wagner. I was lucky to do a lot of work with the Holocaust Center while I was at Wagner, which is really exciting and really cool because it was like something that I had never experienced in Iowa, like getting that connection to like such an important event and like something that's still like obviously super relevant today with anti-Semitism all over the place, racism all over the place, like in ways that are more bold than they have been like when I was a kid, at least that I noticed. But it's
100%.
Like, I got to join the High Society, which is really exciting. It's a bunch of people who give a lot to Wagner and try to give a lot to like the whole community and like build up Holocaust remembrance and a lot of like super awesome things. And then we're doing a cool fundraising gala and they asked me to sing, which is really exciting. I haven't like performed in a while. I'm going to be singing a couple of songs for a bunch of people who will hopefully give to us.
I love that. Do you know what you'll be singing yet?
Yeah. So I am they're like, another thing I did during Wagner was we went to Ingo. Over Zoom, we would sing songs to nursing homes all over the place and like sing songs to Holocaust survivors. And it was super fun. It was like one of the most fulfilling experiences ever because like they just had a really great time. And because it was COVID, they couldn't like talk to anyone.
Right.
But we like got to sing all the classics, you know, like Frank Sinatra kind of stuff, like old theater. So that's kind of like the theme of the night. I'm singing Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, Ella Fitzgerald. Why can't I speak? Ella
that's
Fitzgerald.
Okay. It's still morning.
Was the word I meant to say.
Yes.
And then what's the show with the not that one. I know this song by the way. I'm singing it. I can't remember
you're
what
good.
The show. The Fantastics. Try to remember. That's what it was.
Yes.
Was like nice little classic old school songs. And yeah, it'll be a really fun event because it's gonna be like my first time like singing with an accompanist in forever. I feel very like I'm fancy. I'm gonna wear a suit.
Ooh, yeah. No, and it feels so free to like sing with an accompanist again after a really long time. You're like, okay, that feels good.
Is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Now, was that enough time to think about your hottest theater take, or should we talk about something else first before we get back to it?
Something else first. I forgot to think about it.
That's okay. We were wanting to talk about your wild and weird career path. All the things you've been up to, so many things since college, and I'd love to hear about your various job journey, but particularly the fact that you worked as a cheesemonger. I want to know about that. How does that work?
Cheesemonger. So I am from Iowa. We have a lot of cows. We are farmland. We're right next to Wisconsin, cheese capital of the world, in my personal opinion.
Absolutely.
I am a
agreed.
Big cheese fan, but I was not like knowledgeable about cheese. Like I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't
just
know,
like general appreciation. Like, what?
Yeah. I just loved it. I didn't need to know anything about it. And it's actually thanks to Wagner that I got this job. There are two Wagner grads who own a cheese store right outside of where I live up in Chatham, New York. And I like applied for this job because I was looking for a new job. And I was like, I like cheese. I'm from Iowa. And it turned out they were from Wagner. So they were like, we'll
That's
hire you
so
right
funny.
Now. And I was like, I don't know anything about cheese. Should I take a class? And they're like, no, just...
Just
the best
come on
thing
in.
About
we'll show
cheesemonging,
you.
Cheese like sales, cheese like we don't actually make that much cheese at the shop, but we get a lot of like local cheeses and we like, this is brie. It's not, and I think this is what sommeliers are trying to keep from us. It's all just lies. It's all theater. The world is drag. I sometimes sell like $100 piece of cheese. I'll just say stuff. I was like, this was Joan Crawford's favorite cheese. She would come in every week and just pick it up. I don't know if you would like it, but
you were just scamming people to buy cheese, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I mean, I do know some things about cheese. Like I learned the difference between brie, double cream, single cream. Some cheeses that are really soft, you'd think you'd call them a brie. You can't. It's against the rules. If you like went to a grocery store and sold it as a brie and it was actually a double cream, they wouldn't sell it. You got to be very specific in your wording.
That's very interesting. I would not have guessed that, nor have I heard the term single and double creaming.
I mean, I almost said something that was Freudian. We won't.
That's okay. No, that's okay. As soon as I said it, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I went, no, that's okay.
There it is again.
Yep, exactly. So, but no, that's so funny that you wandered into a cheese shop and you're like, well, I guess I'm doing this now.
No, yeah. And it was awesome because, like, one, we just got to eat cheese all the time. If someone was like, oh, I want a sample, I'd be like, I'll also have a sample. And, like, we made goat cheese all the time. It was a super awesome, awesome job. And I might actually go back to work there. But I love cheese is really the gist of the story. I learned about rinds. That's another interesting thing. Rinds.
Yeah.
Like, you can soak cheese in various, like, rinds, which is the outside bit. Depending on the bacteria, it'll have, like, different colors, all that. But you can also... What they used to do back in the day, you would get like wood ash, like cedar or something, put it in between the layers of cheese to separate which day it is. And that is the best rind, which I never would have expected because it's like ash, but it like mixed.
Yeah.
With cheese, like a great.
Oh, it's like an aging thing, kind of like with wine.
Aging thing.
Like what?
As I am also an aging thing, slowly but surely.
I'm like, you're in your 20s like I am. You can't just say that. Oh my gosh. Well, we are coming to the end of the episode. So I have to bring it back around to Austin's question of a hot theater take.
Hottest theater take. I've been building it up. Drum roll, please. See, I don't want to pit two bad bitches against each other. Audra McDonald over Patti LuPone any day. I hate to say it.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree. Audra over Patty any day.
I guess now that like Patty's non-union, we can trash talk.
I know. I kind of feel bad. I went to Broadway Con one year and I had gotten like from like winning something. You know how like in marketplaces they'll have like things like come over to our table and you can spin a wheel and get something for free. I won a signed Patti LuPone 54 Below CD. And it's great, but now I'm like, people don't really need CDs anymore, and I don't really want it. But also, I feel like it's harder to sell now because people aren't necessarily as big a fan. Who knows what to say? Who knows? I mean, look, if someone wants it, they can come buy it from me. But
I don't think I would know how to play a CD if I had to.
Yeah, I'm like, I have an external disk drive for my laptop.
Fancy.
But other than that, I would have to like, I don't know, can like Xboxes and things like that take CDs or just DVDs?
I'm not.
I don't even know. No, that's okay. I don't even know. So yeah, hot theater take, Audra over Patty. So yeah, if you disagree, come say hi in the comments.
Come at me.
Disagree with us. Yeah. Come at us.
I am from Iowa. I will bow in submission instantly.
We'll be like, you're so right. I'm so sorry. Amazing. So we've come to the end of the episode. Where can people find you on social media and that kind of thing?
Oh my gosh, social media. I almost don't use it, but I'm at Miles P. Wilkie on Instagram. So Miles and then P, which is my middle name. Guess it.
Patrick.
She's a genius.
Did I get it? Oh my gosh.
Right on the money. Miles P. Wilkie on Instagram. And then what's my website? I made a website. MilesWilkieMusic.com. That's my website.
MilesWilkieMusic.com.
Soon I'm going to have a whole little section where you can ask me to compose music for you and stuff like that. Still working on it. But yeah.
That's amazing.
That's my website. And yeah, life is good.
Amazing. So keep an eye out on that, folks. And also, I'm sure, like, if it's not up yet, but people are still interested, they can message you on Instagram, I'm sure, and start up a conversation about it.
Always message me on Instagram. I love to talk to anyone for any reason at any moment. There's no one who lives in Selkirk. I am alone. Please talk to me.
Please. please talk to me. Amazing. You can find me on Instagram and I guess Twitter until it's gone at Laura_Marjoram, as well as on TikTok. You can also find me at my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show. That's where I post all the upcoming guests, when they'll be on. You can submit questions, all that good stuff. If you're watching the video version of this, you are on YouTube. Hooray! Thank you for joining us. Follow, comment, subscribe, all that, all the good stuff that YouTube does. And then if you want to listen to, click that bell, remind yourself for new episodes and things. On Spotify and Apple Music, you can listen to episodes on the go, take it with you on the subway, in the car, whatever you want to do. And I also have a Ko-fi page. So if you feel so inclined to donate a cup of coffee of sorts, that helps me keep this show going. And so that I can continue to talk to amazing guests like Miles. Miles, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
It was something I was thinking about saying all the time, because it's something I'm thinking about all the time. It's cool to do things that other people are doing. Like, you're worried that you want to start a podcast or you want to make music and you're like, oh, but everyone's doing a podcast, everyone's making music. That's what's cool about it. The fact that everyone can do something is cool. That's mm-hmm. it. So just do things that you think are cool, and that's all.
Absolutely. I love that. And with that amazing words of advice, we will see you all later and hope you have a great day. Bye, everyone.